You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Please tell your friends about us. Well, I want to talk to you today about our country. You know, we're entering that time of year where there are a couple of summer holidays. At least that's what we've come to think of them as. But they're a lot bigger than just summer holidays. The first one, of course, is Memorial Day, which is, I don't know, I think a lot of people see that as sort of the unofficial beginning of summer. And who doesn't like that? It's an excuse for a lot of fun times, picnics, and all the rest of it. And then, you know, later in the summer, you got July 4th, which is our national birthday and the anniversary of it. But, of course, July 4th is, I mean, we know how that's used. Baseball games, picnics, a lot of fireworks, sometimes a little dangerous, quite a bit of drinking by some people. So these are things that have become sort of markers for Americans to have a lot of fun, although they're rooted in much more serious things. Memorial Day, July 4th, these happen every year. But this Memorial Day and the Memorial Day next year and this July 4th and July 4th next year have a particular significance right now. I'm afraid a lot of people don't even realize the significance. The media is not doing much to help people be reminded or understand. But this year is the 250th anniversary of important events that took place in our Revolutionary War. So we already had the 250th anniversary this year of Paul Revere's ride and of the little battle that took place at Concord Bridge. And all of this happens this year as a 250th anniversary, leading up to next year's 250th anniversary of the literal birth of our nation. Our nation was born on July 4th, 1776. So next year will be the 250th anniversary of that birthday. So these are some big deals, and I don't think a lot of Americans understand that some really big celebrations are being planned. President Trump is planning to kick things off in a big way in just a few weeks on July 14th, which is the 250th anniversary of the creation of the United States Army. And one of the things that President Trump wants to do, he wants to use these significant anniversaries to focus the country's attention back on the country, the nation. He's hoping to stir up patriotic feelings. He wants us to turn away from these recent years of depression and looking down on everything and people focusing on America's flaws. So on June 14th of this year, the president is planning a big military parade right here in Washington, D.C. It'll be the largest military parade, I believe, since 1991. There are going to be 6,600 soldiers involved in this parade that will take place on Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, just try to picture that. That's going to be a very dramatic sight. There are going to be over 150 military vehicles, including tanks and other types of military vehicles. There's going to be 50 helicopters flying over the National Mall, as well as jets that are going to be flying all over the place over Washington, D.C. There could be 7 different military bands that will take place. This is going to be a big deal. There's also going to be parachute jumps taking place on the National Mall, and there are going to be representatives of all the branches of the American military there to talk to tourists and others that might have questions. There'll be displays of some of the things that are associated with our military. this is going to be a big deal. If you haven't made plans yet for the summer, hey, this would be a great time to come to Washington, D.C. And by the way, as big as this is, from what I've been able to tell from my conversations with the president and people at the White House, they see this as a dress rehearsal of what they're planning for July 4th of 2026, which is going to be, as I said, that 250th anniversary of our nation's founding. Well, as we get together today in this podcast, I want to spend some time on the specific anniversary that takes place, or the specific holiday or time of remembrance that takes place at this time of year. And as I said, that's Memorial Day. And it wasn't meant to be a holiday of just picnics and so forth. It was meant to be a day of remembrance. Memorial Day started out being known as Declaration Day. The first Memorial Day or Declaration Day took place on May 30th, 1868, on the orders of a guy named General John Logan, who was commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. Flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Now think about that. The Civil War was it was an existential moment. I mean, literally, America could have ended during the Civil War. That was a brutal war. If you've never read descriptions of Civil War battlefields and what took place on those battlefields, I urge you to do it in these months ahead. People will say there's nothing like a fight between brothers. They love each other, but man, when they get in a fight, get out of the way. Well, our Civil War was a fight between brothers, and it was over a fundamental issue. It's hard to believe now what that issue was, but the issue was, can one man own another man? Thank God that the conclusion of that war was that no. One man cannot own another man in a nation built on the principles that the United States was built on. So to think that after that war, in which somewhere between 600 and 700,000 Americans died on battlefields right here in the United States, that just a few years later, we were placing flowers on the graves at Arlington National Cemetery, not just of Northern soldiers, but of Southern soldiers too. In other words, our ancestors were able to forgive and forget and come together within just a few years of the Civil War, and yet we seem to have a hard time right now in America, 200 years plus later, coming together as one people. Now, as I said, this holiday, this Day of Remembrance, was first intended to remember those that died during the brutal Civil War. But over time, the holiday's significance has been extended to all those veterans that have paid the ultimate price for our nation. Memorial Day is both patriotic, but it was also meant to be a religious day. In fact, the modern proclamation that has us celebrate this day calls on Americans to observe the day not only by putting flowers on the graves of men and women that have lost their lives for our country, but also to take that day as a day of prayer, asking God that our nation would have permanent peace so that young men and women would never have to die in a war again. You know, my office is not far from Arlington National Cemetery. I can look out my window and sometimes see planes flying over the cemetery when another veteran has been buried there. Every year since 1948, soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment have placed flags on more than 200,000 gravestones at Arlington National Cemetery. What an act of love, an annual event. It's an amazing thing to think about. I believe that will happen as long as there are a place called the United States of America. You know, all of this brings me to this talk about Memorial Day. All this brings me to what I think is the greatest danger our country's facing. And God knows we are facing a lot of dangers. But I have often felt, and I've spoken about this for decades, that our greatest danger is the danger of national amnesia, of forgetting who we are and what had to be sacrificed in order for there to be this country that we have today. You know, the first thing that happened that has sort of led to national forgetfulness is that the textbooks we use in our schools were sanitized to be politically correct. And by doing that, those textbooks over the years have given our children little sense of the greatness of the nation and the history of the nation that they live in. In fact, it's even worse than that. Our children are increasingly taught the exact opposite of American greatness. They're taught that America was never great, that it was founded on evil and slavery and genocide. Our founding fathers in many textbooks are seldom mentioned unless it's part of a controversy about racism or some other scandal that's supposed to be associated with the founding fathers. I think we've all been heartbroken over the years when we've seen American young people often having nothing good to say about their own country. And it's not their fault, because many young Americans for quite some time now haven't been taught about the sacrifices that were made to produce a country that has the liberty that we have. I think there's some evidence now that that might be turning around. I pray that it is. We've had a jump in recruitment into the American military just in the last few months after the re-election of President Trump. And President Trump talks about this issue all the time. It's one of the reasons he's having this parade in June. He's concerned about the lack of patriotism among many Americans, but particularly among American youth. Our children and us, we're recipients of the greatest freedom, prosperity, and opportunity that any society has ever produced. And yet, as I said, too many of us are unaware of the price that was paid for it. I learned patriotism at my father's table, Spike Bauer's table. And I learned it in a way that only a Marine could teach it. And I can tell you, Spike Bauer, who was a veteran of World War II and still had the wounds of that war, when Spike Bauer talked at our kitchen table, I did not have an option of not listening. It was there at that table that my father taught me about the flesh and blood, the real sacrifice, and the real suffering that has been paid for our liberty. All of these things, from the patriot graves that we set flowers on Memorial Day, the memorials that have been built to honor them, the values they died for, all of these things Abraham Lincoln called things that needed to be connected by mystic, or if you prefer, as I do, religious cords of memory. We must never let those memories fade. And I think we have an opportunity, beginning right now on Memorial Day, which is coming up, or depending when you're listening to the podcast, maybe just past, and in all the events that are planned the rest of this year and going into 2026, we have an opportunity to use these events to teach our children and grandchildren about the greatness of this nation. Our children listen to us. They listen to their parents and their grandparents. We can explain to them the price that was paid, the defeat Nazism and the cancer of Soviet communism. We can tell them why there was a Berlin Wall. We can teach them what happened at Okinawa and on the beaches of Normandy, and more recently at Ground Zero and over the fields of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. You know, there are so many stories of American heroism that are just getting lost. I'll mention one of them to you that I bet you don't know anything about. It's the story of Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds. I had the honor of interviewing his son, the Reverend Chris Edmonds. Like many heroes of World War II, few know Sergeant Edmonds' story, and it is particularly relevant now as we turn on our TV sets and see vicious anti-Semitism on the campuses of America's universities. Master Sergeant Edmonds was captured in World War II and taken prisoner by the Germans at the Battle of the Bulge. In late 1944, he was sent to a German POW camp in which there were 1,000 other U.S. soldiers being held prisoner. Edmonds was the highest-ranking non-commissioned officer in the camp, and so he took leadership of these 1,000 American prisoners. And it was told to him by the Germans that they wanted to know the names of every American soldier in the camp who was also a Jew. Now, you don't have to have a lot of imagination to know what the Germans must have had planned when they would have identified which prisoners of war were Jews. When the German camp commander brought the soldiers into the courtyard of the camp, having them lined up, he asked Sergeant Edmonds, who had been given some time to identify the Jews, to point them out. Edmonds said, "All of us are Jews, sir," and he ordered his men to all step forward. The Germans were furious. But Edmonds' act of heroism saved the lives of 200 Jewish American soldiers. So take a moment this weekend to teach your children and grandchildren to love the things we love and to honor the things we honor. And let's remind ourselves that our liberty is a gift from God and that each previous generation has paid in flesh and blood to preserve it. As General George Patton said, it is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who have died. Rather, we should thank God that such men were here and lived and were willing to make the sacrifices that they made. Now, I've got a good way we can start this. Let's listen to some excerpts of Memorial Day speeches that have been given by presidents. And I want to start with a Memorial Day speech that Ronald Reagan gave. He was able to give 8 of them. I worked for him all 8 years. And this is one of those speeches at Arlington National Cemetery. It's only a few minutes long. Listen to it with me.
In America's cities and towns today, flags will be placed on graves and cemeteries. Public officials will speak of the sacrifice and the valor of those whose memory we honor. I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who in return loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with a vision that led them to battle and a final sacrifice. Our first obligation to them and ourselves is plain enough. The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves. Each died for a cause he considered more important than his own life. Well, they didn't volunteer to die. They volunteered to defend values for which men have always been willing to die if need be, the values which make up what we call civilization. And how they must have wished, in all the ugliness that war brings, that no other generation of young men to follow would have to undergo that same experience. As we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor shall be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. And let us also pledge to do our utmost to carry out what must have been their wish, that no other generation of young men will ever have to share their experiences and repeat their sacrifice. Earlier today, with the music that we have heard and that of our national anthem, I can't claim to know the words of all the national anthems in the world, but I don't know of any other that ends with a question and a challenge as ours does. Does that flag still wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? That is what we must do.
You know, Reagan had a way of doing that. The end of his remarks there, I mean, did you catch that? He points out that our national anthem is the only national anthem that he's aware of that ends in a question. Does that flag still wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? I think what the national anthem is trying to say is that we aren't guaranteed this liberty. And this is why Ronald Reagan pointed it out. It has to be re-won with each generation. And, you know, I know people say that Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump are nothing alike, but they're very much alike. These are the two most patriotic presidents that I've ever known. And so let's take a minute to listen to some excerpts from one of the Memorial Day addresses that President Trump gave during his first term in office.
Thank you for joining us on this solemn day of remembrance. We are gathered here on the sacred soil of Arlington National Cemetery to honor the lives and deeds of America's greatest heroes, the men and women who laid down their lives for our freedom. Today we pay tribute to their service. We mourn alongside their families, and we strive to be worthy of their sacrifice. The heroes who rest in these hallowed fields, in cemeteries, battlefields, and burial grounds near and far, are drawn from the full tapestry of American life. They came from every generation, from towering cities and windswept prairies, from privilege and from poverty. They were generals and privates, captains and corporals of every race, color, and of every creed. But they were all brothers and sisters in arms. And they were all united then, as they are united now, forever, by their undying love of our great country. Theirs was a love more deep and more pure than most will ever know. It was a love that willed them up mountains, through deserts, across oceans and into enemy camps and unknown dangers. They marched into hell so that America could know the blessings of peace. They died so that freedom could live. Our fallen heroes have not only written our history, they've shaped our destiny. They saved the lives of the men and women with whom they served. They cared for their families more than anything in the world. They loved their families. They inspired their communities, uplifted their country, and provided the best example of courage, virtue, and valor the world will ever know. They fought and bled and died so that America would forever remain safe and strong and free. Each of the markers on that field, each of the names engraved in stone, teach us what it means to be loyal and faithful and proud and brave and righteous and true. That is why we come to this most sacred place. That is why we guard these grounds with absolute devotion. That is why we always will remember. Because here, on this soil, on these grounds, beneath those fields, lies the true source of American greatness, of American glory, and of American freedom. As long as we are blessed with patriots such as these, we shall forever remain one people, one family, and one nation under God.
I'm sure you caught how President Trump ended his remarks, that if we're going to survive, we need to be one people, one family, one nation under God. You know, that's exactly the kind of thing that Ronald Reagan would have said and did say. So my friends, again, this is a great time of year. We've got these great holidays coming up, but it's not just any year. We're right in the middle of beginning to celebrate the 250 years of our existence. We can learn from what Ronald Reagan said. We can follow the lead of what Donald Trump has been saying about the need to unite our country and to remember the sacrifices. And I think that both President Reagan and President Trump would agree with me and with Dr. Dobson that if we are going to be a great nation again, we have to remember, and then we have to be a godly nation again. So enjoy the summer holidays, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, and all the events coming up this year and next year. And let's strive to do everything we can to teach our children and grandchildren well so that the next generation can celebrate each year the greatness of the United States of America. God bless you all. I'll be back with you soon.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.